Be teachable. That's important. You know, when I was training horses, really and truly, I was living a dream. Because I was raised with horses, but always had a job. You had to go to a job, and you know, you get up every morning, you feed your horses, and then you go to a job. I got to training horses, and it, basically what I did was sit on the back of a horse. Sometimes I hit the dirt, but most generally I sit on the back of a horse and trained them, and I did that for 8 and 10 hours a day. That's all I did, and it's really, that was what I've always wanted to do anyway, was train horses. Now, the problem with training horses is they have what they call an owner.
That's right.
And which makes it, that's the downside of training horses, is the owners. Because all the owners grew up in the same country I grew up in. And they watched a guy named John Wayne, and some of them watched Roy Rogers, and then later in years you had the Clint Eastwoods, and they all were perfect horsemen. I should correct that. I got to be politically correct. They were horse people, and you couldn't tell them nothing. It didn't matter if they'd been on a horse 5 minutes or if they'd been on one all their life. You couldn't train them. You could train the horses. But the majority of horse owners, and I tell you this because I know, because I've been around enough of them, you can't teach them because they already know it all. Hence is why they brought their horse to me. Because they knew how to fix it. But they just didn't have time. The problem with horses are when you train horses, and depending on what all you do, but I would put 90 days on them, and I would get on them, and some of them had problems already, which was a problem. And some of them didn't know spot, which was even better. That if they had never been fooled with, they were a whole lot better. If they had been taught by somebody that thought they knew what they were doing, they were my job was that much harder. And I would train them, and there were certain movements that I made while I was training them, and I got that into their heads. I would pick up on it. If I had two reins, I would pick up on the one side, and I would squeeze with my left leg, and they would know to reach out with their right leg, and they would go around in a circle. If I picked up on the right rein and squeezed with my right leg, they would pick up with the left lead. And people say, well, what's that got to do with anything? Well, it does when you're, it's real important when you're roping and when you're barrel racing, and you don't want to, if you're going to go around a, you're going to take off and go around a barrel over here, you don't want them leading with their right lead. Because when they get over there, now they've got to switch up, which is going to cause you to lose a half a second, which counts a lot when you're trying to make money. And a rope horse, you want to back him if you're a heading horse. You're going to back him in the box. And when he comes out, you want him on his left leg. And the reason why is because when you rope the steer and you jerk the slack and you dally up, you're not going to turn right. You're going to turn left. So it's a whole lot easier if you're already reaching with that leg, and they'll turn left. And it saves you lots of time. And it'll save you wrecks. I've been rolled over with a few, and it don't feel good. So I would train these horses this way, but these people, because they already knew it all, because they'd read a book, or they talked to some guy that told them this, or, and you just couldn't get it across to them. Oh, I know how to ride. You don't have to tell me anything. I'm like, whatever. My nephew, I'm picking on him because he's my nephew. He comes over to my house, and here's my horse. He's a stud at the time, and very docile, and he's very well trained. Not bragging, but he was. I put a lot of time on him. I could ride him out into a field of mares that were in heat, Some of you may know what that is, some of you don't, that's okay. And he would flare his nostrils, and he'd look like Avery when Avery goes to school. But guess what? He didn't step out of line. He ain't got an eye. He ain't stepping out of line because he's got to pay for it. But my nephew comes over and he said, "Let me ride your horse." I said, "Okay." I said, "Now this is what you got to do." "Oh, I know how to ride." I'm like, "Yeah, but listen, this is what you got to do." "Oh, I know how to ride." I'm like, "Whatever." So I put him on the horse and I go in the house. I come back out and the horse still standing there. I said, I walked out. He said, "This horse is dumb." I said, "No, he ain't." I said, "The guy on the back's dumb." "Well, what do you mean?" And I said, "You got to do this and he'll go for you. And while you're riding, by the way, you need to do this." And he figured, he's kind of like a push button. You know, I can hand you an iPhone, some people. No, I'll use me. You can hand me an Android phone and I'll throw it in the trash. As far as I'm concerned, that's where it needs to go. Because I can't operate it. You got to know how to operate. Now, people that have them love them. Best phone there is, same way with an Apple phone. You got an iPhone? Love an iPhone. But if you don't have one, you hate them. It took my wife forever to get a set of brains on her. I gave her an Android, I messed up. I gave her an Android, when I give her a real phone, oh, she got my iPhone. But now she uses a real phone and she's figured out, oh, it's easier. But anyway, no. So you gotta be, but you could not tell these people. Now, I don't want to use humans for this, so I'll use horses. I was training a horse that was dumber than a post. He just would not learn. I could turn his head. I could be riding at a dead run down the arena, and I could pull his head around because I wanted him to go that way. Squeezing on him, everything else. I pull his head around, and he is looking at me. And we are still at a dead run straight ahead to the gate. And I'm like, finally, I thought, I wonder if he'll run into it. The idiot ran into it. He just, and I tried everything to fix the problem, but he just wasn't teachable. I told his owner, I said, "The horse is stupid." I said, "He's just dumb." I said, "I don't know what breeding you got him out of, but please let me know so I don't ever buy one." Well, he took the horse. About 3 years later, I run across his son. And I said, "How's that horse making out?" He said, "Oh, he ain't." I said, "What happened?" He said, "He's fertilizer." I said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "We were 10 miles out in the high desert." He said, "Herding cattle, and my dad got tired of fighting them." He said, "He got off, took his saddle off of him, walked around in front of him and shot him between the eyes, left him laying." He said, "And then we had to walk back because," he said, "my dad wouldn't carry the saddle." He just wasn't teachable. And he got fed up with it. Now, you can't do people that way. I'm going to have a lot of folk get mad at me if I call them on the phone and say, "Well, I shot your kid because they ain't teachable." Always be teachable. You need to remember that. Always be teachable. There was a city slicker. You know what a city slicker is?
Yeah.
I know he does. A city slicker is a guy raised in the city. They do okay in the city, but they ain't got a clue if you put them on the farm. They are lost. They have no idea. This city slicker driving along one day, and he's looking for a certain guy. And he gets out and he asks his farmer, he said, "So where's so-and-so?" He said, "I don't know." And he said, "You know, where's so-and-so?" He said, "I don't know." He said, "Boy, you planted some awful crooked roads." He said, "That look at them crooked roads." He said, "You can plant as much corn on the crooked road as you can on a straight road." And the guy standing there, he said, "What you got?" And he said, "Your corn's mighty yellow." He said, "Well, we're planting yellow corn." And then the city slicker looks at him and he said, "They ain't much different than you and the fool, is there?" He said, "No, not with this fence."
There's a purpose behind what I just said, but we'll get there. You see, people have to admit that
we're not always as smart as we think we are.
Amen.
It doesn't matter what you're doing, whether you're raising children, whether you're teaching, whether you're preaching, it doesn't matter. On the job, if you know it all, you got a problem because nobody knows it all. Believers are no different when it comes to this. Some just, honestly, they just refuse to accept that they don't really know everything. One thing, when I went to preacher school years ago, and we had pastors that taught us, not theologians, because they're eggheads. You know what an egghead is, right? What's an egghead, Peyton? Yeah, it's somebody dumb. It's a person that has been educated beyond their own intelligence. That's what an egghead is. There's just some people that just refuse, and you have a hard time teaching them anything. But then there's some that are willing to say, you know, I thought I had it right, but, and they're willing to listen. And honestly, we always need to be willing to listen, but we need to be willing to do something that's more important than that. You want to be a teachable person. Because if you're not, you can't get very far. Eventually, you're set off to the side. I trained a horse as a yellow horse. The Palomino. That's color yellow. You don't ride them on Thursday. They will fuck you off. You ride them any other day of the week, you're fine. The yellow horse fuck you off on Thursday. And you don't want to wear a purple shirt when you're breaking a horse's path up. Remember that. Especially you. Oh, when you ride bulls, that's okay. They're going to butt you off anyway. So, I was training this yellow horse, and it was on a Thursday. She'd been doing really good. Huge. Man, she was big. I bet she weighed 1,200 pounds. She blew her top for no apparent reason. Something she thought was apparent, but I didn't. My jacket went over the saddle horn. And it was a Carhartt button-up jacket. They're good jackets. I did not come off of her. People were hollering, "Ryder Jim!" And I'm thinking, "I'll get off if I could." And finally she quit bucking. Of course, I was at the chiropractor for a week. But you know, all of a sudden, she had this attitude. I'm not going to do anything. And I'm like, so they turned her out to pasture. Didn't use her for a long time. And all of a sudden, she woke up one day. And she just done everything perfect. And then she went on to rodeoing. And she was a heading horse and a really good horse. Some horses, though, you get turned out. And you don't always have that good a deal. But anyway, back to where we's at. So you want to be teachable, but in the process, you just don't want me to say, "Well, Logan, it's this way." No. If I tell you the Bible says it, you need to look and say, "Well, does it?"
Amen.
That's really, that's what we ought to do. We ought to look at it and say, "Well, let's see if it does." So let's go to Acts 17. Which that's what this is about. Acts chapter 17, Paul had, there was a lot of trouble in Thessalonica. And so they run him out of there. And he went to a little place called Berea. And it says, verse 10, "And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews," which that's what he always did for a certain amount of time. And it says, "These were more noble than those in with all readiness of mind." Wait a minute. "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind." We need to be willing to receive God's word with a readiness of mind. Amen. When somebody stands up here and preaches, whether it be me or whether it be Brother John Richardson, or whether it be Brother Larry, or whether I have Jose, or what's his name, Jeff, whether it, whoever is behind here, Brother Neil, doesn't matter who I, when Brother Randy Chauvin comes, he's going to be here in November. Write that, mark it in your calendar, November 2022. Don't say, oh, Pastor, I didn't know. No, we need to remember, it's going to be a two-week revival. It's going to be a week in Lone Mountain and a week here. And that sounds a lot for out here, but listen, down south, and I'm not lying, you ask Brother Larry, some revivals go 2 and 3 weeks. It's good. So when he comes and he preaches, readiness of mind, he's preaching God's word. We need to listen to it. You guys need to take heed to it. When I'm standing up here preaching, I just ain't doing it just because you're bored on Sunday and I'm bored on Sunday.
That's right.
Right? I'm doing it for a purpose. God lays on my heart what all of us need to hear, and I bring it forth, and it's up to you and the Holy Spirit what you do with it. But notice what he says. He said, readiness of mind, and search the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. When I tell you something out of the Word of God, you should search the Scriptures to make sure that those things are so. If I tell you it's gemology, you take it or leave it. You ain't going to find it in the Scripture. Well, the book of James. But
you're not going to find it in Scripture what I said, unless I'm quoting the Scripture.
Amen.
Now, I may read something, and it may tell me this, and I'll let you know you need to search the Scriptures. That's why it's so... See, before the King James Bible come out, nobody was able to have their own Bible. For one reason, it was about that big. You know, that's been kind of hard. I'm going to see you guys now. And it didn't, you know... and... The other reason is because the bishops and the cardinals and the crownies and whatever else there, they didn't want you to have the Word of God because they only know the Word of God.
Right.
They're the only ones that know the Word of God. Understand it. I got news for you. The Lord gave me a brain. I don't always use it all,
right. But
He gave it to me. And we can search the Scriptures.
Praise God.
So King James, he said, hey, and he don't even know why he did it himself. I think he just did it to aggravate the Catholics, because he was a Presbyterian. But I really think it's why he done it. But the Lord laid it on his heart, and he didn't understand that. And he says, I want these guys to write a Bible. I want it to be just the Bible. I don't want the Puritans' comments in it. I don't want the Catholics' comments in it. I want it to be the Word of God. Now, I'll tell you, be careful with these Bibles that have commentaries.
Amen.
Remember the commentary. It's okay to read it. But it ain't God's word.
That's
it's
right.
Man's thought.
Amen.
That's exactly what it is. The commentary is not God's word. It's a man's thought. Thompson Chang, that's what I'm wondering why I like Thompson Chang. He don't really give his thoughts. He gives scriptures. Scripture unfold, scripture blessing. And now, a lot of them, they want to put the commentary in there. Thomas Nelson, he wants to put his in there. C.I. Schofield, he's got his thoughts in there, and that's okay. Some of it I agree with, some of it I don't. All of these commentaries in these Bibles, the majority of them will teach Universal Church, and it started the day of Pentecost.
Amen.
That's a lie.
Amen.
But so ignore that. Just go on. But some of it's okay. You know, it'll help you get a better understanding of some of it. But you got to remember, that's just C.I. Schofield-ology. That's Jim-ology. That's Thomas Nelson-ology. That ain't God's word.
Amen.
So we need to be willing to study and to see if what is being taught to us is so.
Amen.
Because if it isn't so, there's a problem.
Amen.
All right. Verse 12. Therefore, many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. In other words, there was a bunch of them that honestly they believed. They read the scriptures. They heard the scriptures spoke to them. They read them. They studied them with a readiness of mind. And they said, absolutely, we agree. And they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But now I want you to notice something very important. Verse 13. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. There's always a counterfeit whenever God's word comes across, and he's going to stir you up. That's the whole idea.
Amen.
It's confusion. He's going to place the seed of confusion in there because what works better? Confusion. Confusion is better than any tool there is. You make a person mad, that's fine. You whatever you want to do to an individual, that's fine. They can get over that. But man, whenever the devil adds confusion into the ingredient, it causes nothing but chaos.
Amen.
And he knows that. So whenever the word of God is preached to you guys, or to all you guys, there's going to be somebody that's going to bring you some confusion.
That's right.
Maybe of your own family.
Amen.
Your own family will give you that in a hurry. Because
yes.
Why would Satan want to use your family?
Easy.
Because he loves you. He knows you love your family.
That's right.
Hey, surely your family wouldn't leave you astray.
Oh.
But they will.
Amen.
They may not be doing it on purpose. Don't get mad at them because they know it all. And they're not willing to look at it and say, oh, well, maybe I ought to research that. They're not teachable. But they've been deceived. Pray for them because they need that. But you see, we need to remember that there's always going to be some confusion that comes along. The devil is out there to cause us problems.
Amen.
And he's going to cause us problems. I know people, and I won't mention names, but I know people that come from a church. Their family come from a church, and they teach, well, you got to trust Jesus, but you also got to be baptized. Oh, and you also got to keep the Lord's Supper every week so you can stay saved.
Right.
That's a lie.
Amen.
But you can't get mad at them because that's all they've ever known.
Yes.
My brother-in-law was a Mormon, raised up Mormon, and mom and dad made sure he was in the Mormon church. But it was all lies, which you couldn't get mad at. Because, listen, he's believing what his parents said. They wouldn't lead him astray, would they? Not on purpose. But they didn't know no better. Well, he got saved and he tried to bring it to the family. They don't want to hear it. They're not teachable. When a person decides, well, I've arrived, I've got it.
Yes.
That's not a good place to be for that individual, but that's where walk away and pray. Don't argue with them.
Amen.
You're not going to get anywhere arguing with them. Because we'll all get in a fight with them. Could somebody tell me something and I want to look at them and say, what are you, just stupid? I mean, Ray Charles could see that.
Right.
And he was blind and dead. But it's like, and you can't see this? Avoid doing that. They don't see the humor in that. But anyway, that's not the best way. Teachable. You see, these believers here, they were, look where he said he went. He went to the synagogue. They were not folk out here in the world that ain't never been church.
That's right.
It's not like they didn't know the scripture.
Amen.
They knew the scriptures. They understood that they were coming to church. They were trying to serve God. And they backed up and said, wait a minute. Let's look at what he's talking about here. And they started paying attention to what he was talking about. And they started digging in the scriptures.
Don't call up somebody and say, well, my pastor said this, because they ain't the scriptures.
That's right.
Study the scriptures to show thyself approved, right?
Yeah.
That's what it said. Teachable. Teachable, that may be taught. Apt to learn. Readily receiving instruction. Teachableness. The quality of being capable of receiving instruction. Do you know there are some people that just ain't capable?
Amen.
They're not. They're mentally retarded. I get it. They can't get that. But the majority, let me look around. Everybody in here is teachable. None of you are, well, you're supposed to be of a sound mind. You told me you was. That's what teachableness it is. The quality of being capable of receiving instructions. More generally, a willingness and readiness to be informed and instructed. Apt to learn. That is so important in our lives. You need to be able to learn.
Amen.
Tony, what would happen if I got the ladder out of here and I climbed up and I put the wires in my mouth?
The lights probably burn your tongue really good.
I don't want to burn a tongue. I've had a burnt tongue. I have taught my grandchildren and my children, you don't stick stuff in the socket that's on the wall.
That's right.
Why? And up into my faith, it can kill you. That's a doctor. It can kill you. You don't run out in the street without looking both ways.
That's right.
Because, and you're done.
That's right.
Or if you hit my luck, I'll just have to take care of you for now. You know, and so it's called learning ability. Let your, especially you guys here in the front row. And then walk by all of us. All of you look up here. All you guys, put your eyes. Oh, good. All you guys need to be teachable.
Amen.
In other words, you need a willingness to listen and learn. Because if you don't, you're going to be what I call dumb as a box of rocks. Dumb as a box of rocks. You just ain't going to know nothing. Although you think you know everything. You ain't gonna know nothing. You gotta be willing to be taught.
Yes.
Just because you think you might know the proper way, don't always mean you do.
Amen.
You need to listen. When we're teaching Bible at school, you need to listen because, hey, it's important that you learn the proper way. It's the same way with all us adults.
Amen.
We all need to understand that the Word of God tells us all about church, tells us the way we ought to operate a church, how we ought to act in church, what we ought to teach in church. It tells us all that if we're willing to look at it and search the Scriptures.
Amen.
It does. It tells us all these things. We need to be teachable. So with that thought in mind, let's go to a guy that thought he had it all together. Chapter 18 of Acts and verse 24. Bless you. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria. By the way, that was a place in Egypt. An eloquent man. You know, somebody told me one time I was eloquent. That was years ago. An eloquent man. Do you know what eloquent means? It means they were a good orator. They spoke well. He was also kind of animated. We were talking in class the other day to the third graders. They're reading their poems. They've been working on reading these poems and then they memorize them. And they stand there and, and I'm like, good grief. You guys need to put some animation in it.
Amen.
You need to put some feeling in it. When you're talking about that flag, you need to
remember that people's brains were scattered all over the ground in a foreign country so that you could sit here in church.
Amen.
You need to remember that people died so that you could have the freedoms that you have. Yes. Whenever we talk about the flag, it ought to be, I don't know the poem myself, but it's something about an old tattered rag. Listen, it may be tattered, maybe raggy looking, but guess what? They gave their life for that flag, which whenever you're in a parade or whenever you're in church and we say we're going to have the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag, if I ever see any of you children sitting, for that matter, any of you adults, I'll tell you, get up! And put your hand over your heart.
That's right.
Because we're going to say the Pledge of Allegiance. See, football players that everybody just falling over today, they are useless as chicken mess on a pump handle.
Amen.
They won't stand for the flag. Send them down the road.
That's right.
America don't want to stand up for our flag.
That's right.
Get rid of those morons that don't. Tell them to go to a communist country and deal with it.
Amen. Amen.
Because I ain't interested. You got to put emotion into what you do. That's what eloquent means. So,
this fella, Apollos, and by the way, you're looking at about 30 years down the road since Jesus died in verse 19. It had been quite a while. And here's Apollos. He's an eloquent man and mighty in the Scriptures. Man, he knew the Scriptures. Was good at it. Was good at presenting the Scriptures. I told them, I said, now if I just stood up here and said, oh, he's good at presenting the Scriptures. He's an eloquent man. I said, I asked him preaching. I said, what good would that be? I said, that's why sometimes I act foolish. That's why sometimes I get animated. Because it keeps attention, hopefully. They may be laughing at me. But nonetheless, he was an eloquent man. He was mighty in the Scriptures, and he came to Ephesus. And it said this man was instructed in the way of the Lord. He was already preaching about the Lord, already doing his thing. He knew a lot. It said being fervent. By the way, fervent means excited. He was on fire for the Lord. And he was teaching. And it says here he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. That's all he understood was John's baptism, which was about 30 years ago. And he was out there just teaching away and it was on fire for God. And he thought he was doing everything right. And it says, and he began to speak boldly. Oh, I missed a verse. No, that was it. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, oops, they heard him speak. And all of a sudden, they're like, ooh, oh, that ain't good.
That's right.
But then it says here, They took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. In other words, they took him and they said, listen, Brother Apollos, we appreciate your fervency with this. We appreciate you, that you're eloquent and you're mighty in the Scriptures, but
there's a problem. You got a problem. And you know what the next verse says? That he got all bent out of shape and he decided, I ain't talking no more and I ain't listening to you. Because I already know it all.
Preach.
You think that's what it says? No, it ain't. Let me tell you what it says. Here, I'll read to you what the Word of God says.
It says, and when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he was come, helped them which had believed through grace,
For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ.
Amen.
In other words, Apollos said, oh, I thought I knew it all. But I don't.
Amen.
And was willing and learning and accepting.
Amen.
And he took it and he learned the right way. And guess what? Instead of just preaching the word of the Lord mightily, now he was, Jesus is the Christ.
Amen.
That's what he started telling everybody. And convinced the Jews. He convinced a bunch of them and said, why? Because he was a Jew. The best way to convince somebody is for them to see the difference in you. And we have to be teachable. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14:37, he said, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. So really, if any of us ever think that, well, we've arrived, we need to understand we ain't arrived. But his last word, because some people aren't teachable. The last thing Paul said in verse 38 of 1 Corinthians 14, but if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant.
Amen. Yeah. In other words, if I try and I try and I try to tell people something, wake up, to tell people something, guess what? And you just won't listen. Sometimes you've got to back up and be ignorant.
Right.
You want to be ignorant, be ignorant. Same way with the adults.
Amen.
If we try to teach and we show it in the Word of God and back it up with the Scripture, but well, yeah, but that ain't so. Really?
Preach.
Instead of me arguing about it, I didn't back up.
Amen.
And I say, I'll let the Lord teach it. He can do a much better job than me.
Amen.
I've had people... Well, we don't believe in spanking our child. We like to speak with them. They read Dr. Fox, which is an idiot. You know what the Bible says? And I ain't going to quote word for word, but the Bible says if you beat the snot out of them, you won't have near the problem. Matter of fact, he said the blueness of the womb will drive the foolishness out of them. Because it's like, ooh, I don't want that again. Listen, I've had some little marks from my dad. And it took a whole lot more than just one little mark. It took a few. And guess what? I'm like, oh, it ain't good. You don't. My dad called me, unlike you guys, all of you guys. Hey, Camden, yeah. Yeah?
No. Yes, sir. No.
I mean, that's what I do. I say, yeah? Oh, yes, sir.
There you go.
My dad called me and I didn't say, yes, sir.
Amen.
The next time he called me, I said, yes, sir. But I couldn't quite get out there because my mouth was still swelling. Listen, it did not hurt me.
Amen.
It did at that present time. It was like, I won't do that again. No, we're to say yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. That's really what we ought to say.
Amen.
Amen.
My children, my oldest kid, I can still call her. And if she knows I'm a little bent, she'll say yes, sir.
Uh-huh.
She does. And she's 46 years old.
Preach.
She has that much respect for me. Now, my son is just called Fear. Because I'll take him out. I brought him in, I'll take him out. No,
it's called respect.
Amen.
He was teachable. We need to be teachable, people.
Amen.
We honestly do. The Lord is revealing more and more to us.
Amen.
On a daily basis.
Yes.
You ever hear somebody say, I've got it? You need to back away. Leave them alone because they ain't got it.
That's right.
They still got to keep studying. Listen, this is an everyday book.
Amen.
We need to study this every day.
Amen.
When we're raising our children, look in the book.
Yes.
If the Bible told me, now, don't whip your child with a belt or whatever. Don't discipline your child physically. Let them hold a rock and pray. Well, that's what I'd tell you to do. But the Bible says if they're disrespectful, tear their hind end up. Because back then, they'd stoned them to death. And I'd have been dead a long time ago. So, you know, that's what discipline's for. Now, I ain't talking about beating them. I'm talking about discipline, where you bend them over your knee. Or the way I like to do it is I tell them, put your hands on the bed. And I stand there, and boy, they're waiting because they're going to throw that hand back there. And I'm like, keep your hands on the bed. And I'll start talking to them, and then I'll bust their hind end. And it gets their attention. And I also asked them, I said, do you know why you got a whipping?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
That littlest one there. I didn't ask her, and then I said, did the whipping help?
Yes, sir.
She going to let me know.
Yes, sir.
And she knows, yes, sir, it's important. I don't care how it comes out. I just want to know she attempted. And it's funny, she can say sir, but she can't say Stella. Do you know Tella is back there in the room?
Yes, she is.
Tella. I'm like, no, it's Stella. Because she don't say yet to. Anyway, it just got to work on that. But we need to be teachable. You see, be a teachable person. Honestly. Don't be afraid to gain knowledge or to be corrected in what we thought we knew. We ought to be willing to study the Scripture. When it comes to Scriptures, be willing to say, I'll look into that. And look into it. And if you don't quite get it, I tell people, you don't quite get it, come talk to me. Write it down what you don't get and let's go through it in the Word. And you'd be surprised how the Lord will open your eyes to things.
Yes.
Amen.
It's important. And when somebody tells you something, I've had people say, why did you want that kind of respect out of your children? Why was it when I went, when I whistled like that, they stopped dead still and they turned and looked from where the whistle come from? Because I moved to Colorado. My daughter was, I think she was 5, 6. My son was like 4. And then my littlest one was younger than that. And we started going up in the mountains. And if I whistled, I wanted them to stop. Because for all they know, they're about to run off a cliff, or there may be a mountain lion, or there could have been a rattlesnake. You needed to stop now. Not, was that him? No, when I say stop, that meant stop. Or if they hear my whistle, that meant, where's dad at? I told you, I was at the Denver Stock Show, the National Western Stock Show. My son was married, grown up, married. And I show up at the stock show. He didn't know I was coming. I didn't know he's going to be there. And I could see him amongst about 5,000 people. And I was wanting him to look my way, and he just meandering around. I whistled, and he stopped, because I was on the second level. And he went. He started looking, and then he saw me. And we had to spend the day together. But he still kept that in here. Your parents don't tell you these things just to be ugly to you guys. They're telling you these, hopefully they are. They're telling you these things. They're tearing your hind end up so that one of these days you'll have what you need as an adult. You know what the whole purpose of respect for me is? For one reason, God called me to be the pastor.
Amen.
But for the other reason, the reason you should respect adults, you should respect your parents and grandparents, is because if you don't respect them, you're not going to respect the policeman.
That's right.
You know why people get shot?
Amen.
Because they say, get your hands where I can see them. I don't have to if I don't want you to get shot.
That's
And what happens to me if I do this? Well, I don't have to. What they're going to see? That's a danger for those guys. They got intentions on going home.
Yep.
That'll keep them from going home. I'm going to tell you this story. I was at a store one day at about 4 o'clock in the morning in Reno, Nevada. And I got out, and it's really, really cold. Like 5 degrees, 10 degrees. And I'm getting gas in my vehicle. And all of a sudden, some guy hollered, "Get your hands up!" And I'm like, "What?" And I turned around, and I went to put my hands in my vest because it's cold. And all of a sudden, he said, "Get your hands up!" And I went, "Ooh." I had 6 357 Magnums or 40 caliber Glocks, whatever they are, pointing at me. Now, that's a long story, and I'll tell you about it one day, but I ain't going into it today. But if I had just said, "Well, I don't have to," they'd have killed me.
That's right. That's right.
It's called respect.
Yes.
And guess what? If I don't respect my parents and my grandparents and the other adults around me, how are you going to respect God? Have you ever seen God? No. You're not going to respect somebody you ain't seen.
That's right.
That's the whole idea about respect. That's why I taught my children to respect.
Yes.
Anybody in here have any disrespect out of that right there? If you have, say so. I didn't think so, but I'm going to tell you what I have heard. He's very respectful.
He is.
He better be.
He is.
Because you can ask him later what would happen if he ain't.
That's right.
His big brother, we're walking into a store years ago, going into a store over in Arizona, and his big brother just meandering along here like Jolly Green Giant, and cut right in front of this woman, and I grabbed him by what hair he had, and I went, and that woman looks at me and she said, "Well, thank you." And I said, "Yeah." I said, he needs to apologize. And he did. He said, "I'm sorry." Listen, you don't cut a woman off like that. Accidentally, I did it. But you have respect.
Yes.
And we should have respect. All of us should.
That's right.
Amen.
We need to be teachable. I got to quit. Be teachable. Don't be afraid to get the right info and to understand it correctly.
Amen.
Listen, raising kids, by the way. I've raised 3 of them and working on raising grandkids. When I was raising my children, I made some stupid mistakes. Sometimes, though, I would actually ask somebody, "What did you do with your teenager when they were doing this?" And they told me. And I'm like, "Well, maybe I'll try." Don't be afraid to listen to people about that. Because, listen, we may be messing up.
Amen.
We may be. And it's not on purpose. It's just we're trying to be adults and raise a family.
Amen.
But I got to go here. Marriage.
If marriage is going to work for you, you got to look at people that have been married a long time.
Preach. Amen.
And you're like, "What did they do that I'm not doing?" You know, I've asked some married men that were grown up in age. I said, "How in the foot did you keep them around?" And you know what they told me? Now, this is a long time ago, okay? They said, "Son, you didn't pick her up at Walmart. You picked her up for better and for worse and forever."
That's right.
He said, "You make it work."
Amen.
You go back, you communicate, you make it work. You don't trade them off. Hey, folks get married like I change socks. And I'm like, "I don't understand." You make it work. Now, sometimes, I get it. I ain't going to get into all that. Sometimes things ain't changeable, things ain't teachable, I get it. But most generally, if we'll put God in the center of it, guess what? We make it happen. There's been some times that she'd have shocked me if she'd have just had that extra nerve. Or maybe if I hit that extra nerve, she'd have shocked me. But I was smart enough to back up. When the skillet come out, he's like, oh, judge next. It's because if you put Jesus worry out of bed in your life, you can make it happen.
That's right.
You guys remember that. One of these days, I know you're awful young, but one of these days, old Mr. Wright's going to come along, or what you think is Mr. Wright, and Ms. Wright's going to come along and just knock your socks off. And if she don't know the Lord and don't want to know the Lord, ditch her.
Amen.
Right. Amen. Same way with him. Oh, I don't want to go to church. I mean, you know, ditch him.
Bye-bye.
Get rid of him. He is useless as chicken mess on a what?
Okay.
A pump panel. You know what good that is? For you to lay your hand on and go, huh. That's about what you'll think. You marry one of them kind, and you're going to be like, oh, what I do.
Yeah.
Right. Be teachable in the Lord.
Amen.
In your life, and it'll be a whole lot faster. It'll be a whole lot better, is what I want to say. Not faster. Be a whole lot better for you. It'll be a more harmonious outcome every day.
Amen.
If we're willing to be teachable.
Yes.
You don't want to be like the guy at the fence. You know, the guy at the fence says, you got crooked rows? Well, you can plant as much corn on a crooked row as you can a straight one. He still didn't get it. Well, you got yellow corn? We planted yellow corn. They ain't much different than you and the fool, is it? Not but this fence. he might have got it then. Sometimes they're just folk that just ain't worth dealing with. You just back up, and I'm going to tell you what you do. You pray for them people.
Amen.
That the Lord will help them. Because it ain't going to be from you. It's going to be from the Lord.
That's
right. Let's stand. Brother Roger, pick us out a song. Let's bow. Most kind and gracious Lord, we thank you for this day, for the blessings you give us. Lord, we ask you to help us. Lord, to be willing to hear your word, but not just to hear it, but to search the scriptures for it to be so. And then, Lord, be willing to apply it to our life, even if we've got a chance of that. Help these children to be teachable, Lord, in their lives, and listening to the parents and grandparents, listening to the teachers, listening to other adults. Because we've been there in places they haven't yet. I've got people in my life that have been there and I haven't got there yet. Help me to listen to them as well. I ask now that you would bless this invitation. Have your will in each heart. Lord, if there is one here that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, Lord, just this morning we call on you and I thank you in Jesus' name. What faith, Brother Robert?
116.
116. 116.